And now I'd like to reflect with you on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 33, which is the selection for this 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's a collection of parables. I told you we're in this part of Matthew, chapter 13, where he just gives one parable after another to give us a multifaceted understanding of the kingdom of God, okay? And so we're going to start looking at them now. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. So the slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have these weeds come from?' And he answers, 'An enemy has done this.' So a slave said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' And this is the leniency, this is the forbearance. 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, and then gather the wheat into my barn. There will be a reckoning, but not now. Maybe some of those weeds will turn into wheat.'" There's a forbearance. Many years ago, I was working on a book. I was trying to respond in the book to some issues. And every once in a while, I had I don't see visions, so I can't say that I had a vision, but I had, the whole world was black. And then there was a figure sowing. And I knew that he was sowing weeds. And I understood that was Europe. And the wheat is growing. And so what was happening is it's all being twisted. All the wonderful discoveries of modern science only go to prove there is no God. You see, all the, the outmoded Ten Commandments are an obstacle to true growth in true diplomacy, and so forth. And I realized, you see, that there's wheat to grow, and yet there are weeds sown among the wheat. Now, this is the kingdom of God, which means, in this sense, it's the church. Now, why the forbearance? Why not tear them out by the roots right now? Well, you might pull up some of the wheat with it. But, and this doesn't happen with wheat and weeds, but it can happen with people. Maybe they'll change. Don't kill them all. Don't send a fire from heaven and blot out all those who are propagating evil. They have a right to time to repent. See the forbearance? You see? And you know, I've noticed in my life the most hard-nosed reformers are rigid as the dickens. And gosh, that's not God. To be sorry, to be even angry at the mess we're in, that's okay. But don't want to blot out people. Who knows? Huh? You know, I've told you this story before, I think. Camillus de Lellis, Saint Camillus de Lellis. He was a mercenary soldier along with his father. They were a pair. And these two went around working for other people, you know, in an army, killing people, robbing, roustabout, profligate with women, drinking. That was their life. And Camillus was touched by the Lord. And he changed. Now, anybody, even that part of the story, Look at those two over there. They are rotten, thoroughly rotten. They are going to go to hell. And then Camillus gets touched by God. And so he tries to join a religious order. Well, he had a reputation, which he deserved. And no order would take him. You're a nice guy maybe now, but we don't want you. First place, your reputation would look bad for us. Besides, we don't know how long you're going to stay good. So what did he do? He went down to the hospital which cared for the poorest of the poor. And he cared for them. He waited on them. He washed their wounds. Pretty soon, other men joined him. And pretty soon, he founded an order. Isn't that amazing? So, you can never tell. You can never tell. You see somebody who's really messing up, pray for them. And vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. There'll be a time when there is justice. But, as this beautiful parable says, you see, not right now, you see. Now, the next parables are a lot about small beginnings and big conclusions. You see, propose another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in his branches. That's an allusion to a text in the prophet Ezekiel. Now, what's our Lord saying there? If you're looking for razzle-dazzle, don't look at the church. The church is a mustard seed. It has its own laws of growth, and when it's fully grown, then all the world can come and rest in it. But we don't have a brass band. We don't have a big banner, you see. All the saints are, for the most part, hidden or prefer to be hidden. And so you see what he's saying, which is the same with the next parable, which is about the woman who took 3 measures of flour, which is a lot of flour, and put in the yeast. And then she kneaded it until the whole batch was leavened. So a little bit of yeast in this great big bucket. Have you ever seen? I imagine everybody has. People making bread? Like lots. Where I used to live up in Madonna House, they made, 40 loaves a day or something. So the whole 40 loaf thing was in this great big, or maybe two of them, thing like this. And it was rising because they mixed leaven in it. So pretty soon it was overflowing its boundaries. Then they would cut it up, put it into pans, and bake it. Leaven has that power. That handful of leaven can make that whole thing rise because it's got life, so to speak. Well, you see, the kingdom of heaven is like that. It can make everything rise. But it has to be authentic leaven. That means I can't mix it with my own ideas, my own projects, my own. It's got to be the kingdom of heaven. That's why we have to pray before we start projects. Otherwise, we got all these bright ideas, and the Lord says, yeah, they're bright ideas, but they're not mine. I'm not going to back them up. Come to me, and I'll show you what you're supposed to do, and it will prosper. You see this? You see, and then the text goes on. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. And he spoke only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. So the psalm, really. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. Now that's using that, what the psalmist said he was going to do is what Jesus actually does do. He talks in parables. Why? It's the same gentleness. It's the same forbearing. Suppose he had come talking to that large crowd. Some are with him, some wondering who he is, and some on the outside are against him. And he said, I have come to plant the kingdom of God right in your midst. It may look small, but it's going to grow, and you better get with it or else. He never preached that way. Well, when he got to the Pharisees, he was pretty tough in Matthew, in the letter verses, chapters of Matthew. He spoke in parables. You see, it's small now, but it's going to grow. How do you know? Believe me. I'm worthy of belief. So you see this same sort of forbearance. Now, when dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. Remember how all this started? He went out of the house. Now he goes into the house. And he said, tell us about this weeds in the field, the disciple. They're not bright. But maybe we aren't either. You know, we know the answer. We got the trot. They didn't have that. We know what it's supposed to stand for. He said, he who sows good weed seed is the Son of Man. It's myself. The field is the world, and the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. These are teachings about the ambiguity of our time on earth, and the ambiguity even in the church. There's ambiguity. But you come, answer me, believe in me, give your life to me, and you'll be fine. You see, the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. And just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels. They will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin. That's the worst sin. All who cause others to sin. Think of that when you think of all the pornography on the TV. Those women causing those men to sin. They're going to hear from the Lord. They're going to hear from the Lord. And any other kind of pornography, you see. They're going to hear. All who cause others to sin. And all evildoers. But the worst are those who get others to sin. Talk them into it. You see. They will be thrown into the fiery furnace. They'll be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The Lord isn't pulling any punches, is he? He's saying, there is a reckoning. Now be patient. You're not bright enough or righteous enough to be calling the shots. That's my job. You just live in fidelity to me and pray for those who persecute you and do what you can to oppose evil. You know, hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what I'm telling you to do, you see? And so, the parables in this section, in this Lazarus section, are all about ambiguity. But ambiguity with faith, love, loyalty to the Lord, and forbearance. You see? Our idea to bring about reform is to take all those who are sinning, gather them all up, and throw them into the Atlantic. That's not the Lord's idea. He died for them. He wants them to live with him forever. He's going to give them every chance. And you know, that's a much better system. Because who knows when we're going to need a chance.